life.
That's life.
That's what all the people say.
Frank.
You're riding high in April, shot down in May. But I know I'm gonna change that tune. When I'm back on top in June. I said that's life.
That's life.
And as funny as it may seem.
All right.
Some people get their kicks.
Welcome back to.
Stomping on a dream.
What can we call this? The Perry Como Show.
I remember Perry Como. You know how old you have to be to remember Perry Como.
Pat Boone succeeded Perry Como.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. Man, I remember the Perry Como Show.
Yeah.
Wow, man. I must be. 844-967-2789. You can text us at the same number. It's Friday. That means Fridays with Sandy Williams, my co-host. Let's go to the phone lines. And Dan from Racine. And so if you're just joining us, we're talking, I'm sorry, Dan, hang on. We're talking about, you know, Donald Trump and the indictment of him and what your thoughts are. Dan, go ahead. Thank you.
Hi, guys. How you doing today?
All right.
I must really be a serious recovering Republican because I listened to the last two callers and just cannot understand their way of thinking. Donald Trump, the law and order president, is okay as long as they're not against him. Then it's a witch hunt, right? I don't understand their comprehending of thinking. But first and foremost, if Michael Cohen can go to jail for the same thing, why can't Donald Trump? He's not a sitting president, right?
Yeah.
Is that correct? Okay, so do I wish that there was some other charge, maybe some tax evasion in this? And of course, we don't know because the indictment is sealed. You know, maybe this is silly. I mean, John Kerry, they tried to do the same thing against him, correct? And got away with it. But the reality of the situation is that, God forbid, Donald Trump wins again. I mean, Mike Lindell, the Mike Pillow guy, might be handing out Donald Trump pillows saying, you know, here, you can have this because you're a good boy. You protected us. You got on the news. And I don't understand these Republicans defending him because Donald Trump is not a Republican. Donald Trump is for Donald Trump. He doesn't care about any of us. That is the reality. His entire life has been the exact same way. Unless it benefits him and his family, he doesn't care. And I just don't understand why people don't get on Google and do some simple searching to figure all this simple stuff out. It is absolutely shameful what all these people are getting on the air saying. Not only people that are just blindly, it reminds me of David Koresh and the Branch Davidians. I don't get it. I just don't get it.
That's a heck of a comparison, man. You know, the other part of it
it's
is
true.
You heard Lindsey Graham, a United States Senator, you know, crying.
It's shameful.
Yeah. All right. So thank you very much for the call, Dan. I really appreciate it, man. And thank you for listening. Well, Sandy, there you have it.
Well, I think, to be honest with you, I think it's a good discussion because I think it's better that we all understand how each of us is thinking and why. And I think that Gary has an interesting view of the thing. I do think that most of this relates to people's view of circumstances generally and their view of the establishment and whether they're for it or against it. I think that Donald Trump is an anti-establishment figure. That's what populist leaders typically are. And I think people who are unhappy for a variety of reasons, many of which they probably have trouble self-identifying, why it is they're so uncomfortable with the current circumstance, tend to want to support someone like Donald Trump and have trouble explaining why. And you know, the notion that you would want someone in the White House because some politically ambitious district attorney in the state of New York is bringing an indictment against him, it sort of defies logic.
Is it possible for you to be the president of the United States and anti-establishment at the same time?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, that's what George Wallace was. We've had populist figures in the past, people who just basically run with self-described disdain for what the general mainstream thought processes are. And sometimes it catches fire. George Wallace, you know, got lots of votes at a time when he was basically running against the political correct concept of civil rights.
So before we let this go, Sandy, you said yourself too, and this is what I've witnessed on Fox News. Yeah, I stopped watching Fox News, but I went back yesterday and had an overdose on Fox News. But they clearly agree with Gary and CJ that this is going to ramp up. More people are going to be supporting Donald Trump, including Democrats, because how egregious this thing is. Well, I can't think of any Democrats who would all of a sudden say that, you know, this is so egregious what happened to Donald Trump that even though I don't agree with Joe Biden as the president of the United States, that I'm going to all of a sudden vote for Donald Trump.
Well, I don't think that's the risk that people identify. I think lots of Democrats identify the risk of associated with this indictment as being something that will cause Gary's to happen, more Gary's to happen. In other words, Republicans who were migrating away from Donald Trump to migrate back to him on this whole victim theory and their anger against an establishment and what that does is makes it more likely that Donald Trump gets the nomination. And we all do know that this country has almost election year in and out been about a 50-50 country. And so if Donald Trump gets the Republican nomination, he will have a shot at getting elected president. And, you know, and if it'll depend on who's running for the Democrats and what the public's view of them, if it's Joe Biden in a year and a half, who knows?
So Donald Trump won one race for president. He lost a race for president, and he also lost a race when he tried to run before for president. He's 1-2. That's his record. And so I don't see how people who clearly didn't think that Donald Trump, after he became president of the United States, and then the first time that he ran and lost, that because of this indictment, all of a sudden all things have changed. And I emotionally think because he's getting the raw end of the stick, even though all these other things we saw and we know about Donald Trump as president, you know, that we're now all of a sudden.
Well, look at Lindsey Graham as sort of a mainstream Republican. Okay, he's always
he's
always been viewed as that, and only with Donald Trump has he seemed to jump off the tracks. But there he was last night, you know, calling for people to give money, get out and vote. Let's get this guy. You know, he's going to win the presidency. Paul Ryan, who's clearly not a Trump supporter.
I bet he's not jumping off.
Well, no, he's on. But he predicted that this was a bad thing because it might create more unity behind Trump out of this whole sympathy witch hunt theory. And so there are plenty of Democrats and Republicans who look at this and were predicting that this indictment could actually operate to Trump's benefit. Not that they would move towards Trump, but that Trump would become more likely to get the Republican nomination.
So this other segment of the Republican Party that was pushing for DeSantis, quite a strong segment of the Republican Party, who wanted to turn the page on Donald Trump, Sandy, I don't see them now all of a sudden jumping off the train for DeSantis. They knew I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well,
Fox News poll...
from March showed that Trump was leading DeSantis 74-24 when he – that's a
– do you believe that?
50 – well, I don't know.
I know. But it's a Fox News poll.
But their same prior poll, you know, the same Fox poll from the month earlier had a 25-point lead, and this was like almost a 50-point lead. So you know, the poll, whether you trust it or not, if you look at it and say, well, you can measure one against the other and at least see a trend, shows that Trump's trend in the Republican Party is that he's moving into a much stronger position vis-a-vis DeSantis.
So Fox News, which has clearly kind of left the Donald Trump train, the Rupert Murdoch, the owner.
Yeah.
And I even saw the change in many of the hosts over the last year or so, getting off the Trump train. And now all of a sudden, you know, because of this, they're all of a sudden going to get back on the Trump train. They really are the people who helped create Ron DeSantis.
Well, but I think the Nielsen ratings for Fox News has been going down.
Right.
And so, you know, Fox News maybe looked at this and said, well, maybe it's going down because the people who are our audience are Trump supporters. And if we pull the plug on Trump, we're going to lose our Nielsen ratings. And maybe they're right.
You know, Sandy, we're into a bushel and a peck of you know what. So I think we should go through a break, and and when we come back, we're going to talk about the state Supreme Court race and where it is. And Sandy, the talk is about $50 million.
Wow.
In a state Supreme Court race, but not just a state Supreme Court race, Wisconsin State Supreme Court.
Well, and it's $50 million being spent on two people who really nobody knows much about at all, other than the fact that they stand for ideological positions.
All right, so we got to go to a break. We'll be right back. Let's hear Frank Sinatra.
Nothing shaking come this here July. I'm gonna roll myself up in a big ball and die.
The loveliness of Paris seems somehow sadly gay. The glory that was Rome is of another day. I've been terribly alone and forgotten in Manhattan. I'm going home to my city by the bay. I left my heart in San Francisco. High on a hill, it calls to me to be where little cable cars
eighth grade baseball
climb halfway to the stars. The morning fog may chill
Godfather. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Friday's with my co-host, Sandy Williams. Sandy, $50 million in a state Supreme Court race, not even close. with being the most expensive race in the history of state Supreme Courts. We've almost doubled it. Why?
Well, like, you know, we talked about it last week. The people care about it. Nationally, they care about it. One, it's a dry run for presidential race.
Explain it.
Well, I mean, it's become, even though it's a nonpartisan election, everyone understands that it's a shadow election for partisan politics. And so how the conservative does as compared to how the liberal does, it has a lot to do with how they'll vote in another stressed election, right? So the extent to which this election becomes a high-stress election, it begins to look like a presidential election in terms of how people will fall out and vote ideologically, one. Two, has everything to do with redistricting. Every redistricting period, those things always get reviewed by the state Supreme Courts because one or the other side appeals and it gets there. So it has a lot to do with the congressional delegations, the view being that these people might that vote their ideologies in a partisan manner that could reflect how things get districted, because there's been a clear view to date that districting has favored Republicans through the process of a Republican-controlled legislature, drawing up maps which then get reviewed by a conservative-controlled Supreme Court, and you end up with what you end up, which is a congressional our congressional delegation is way disproportionately Republican as compared to our statewide headcount of Republicans and Democrats in presidential elections.
Let me bounce these things off you, Sandy. I asked you earlier, and how much of this could be at the root of why, again, they're pushing Democrats to get back control, gain back control of the state Supreme Court, because it's been 15 years since they've had control. And how much of it is the fact that if the Democrats win this seat, the Scott Walker legacy will be hanging in the balance. And so what's the Scott Walker legacy? Concealed carry, right to work, Act 10, cutting funding to education, changing the electoral maps, anti-unions, GOP control of the state, redistricting voters, restricting voters' rights, dismantling environmental protections, abortion. All of those things have occurred in like the last 15 years in this state.
Yeah, and some of them occurred by dint of Supreme Court action, and some of them occurred by dint of legislation. And so for the legislation to be impacted by the Supreme Court, the Supreme Court would have to decide the legislation was unconstitutional. Some of the things listed there were established by legislation which then was approved by the then-existing Supreme Court, so there would have to be a reversal of precedent with respect to that.
But how difficult is that? You mean the Supreme Court can make that?
Well, the Supreme Court is free to reverse the precedent set by a prior Supreme Court. You know, there tends to be this notion of having consistency and to have kind of overwhelming changes associated with the case presented or the situation presented to cause the override. But we just had Roe v. Wade.
Right.
So that's a clear example of it. And clearly abortion is going to be an issue going forward that's going to end up with state Supreme Court as well as federal Supreme Court reviews. But the districting is super that is a state issue, and it is a state Supreme Court issue. And it has to do with the districting for state legislative purposes as well as congressional districting. And those two issues, along with abortion, make this a very interesting race nationally because there's a great deal of national interest in those things.
Yeah, but Sandy, $50 million.
Well, but that just shows you how gross money has become in politics, that there is $50 million to be had to spend on this election. And just think how much money. Presidential elections are billions.
Right.
I mean, what's happened?
So hold the thought, Sandy. 844 967-2789 is Friday. That's Fridays with my co-host Sandy Williams. We'll be right back.
Your golden sun will shine for me. Fun seems to be the ideal. The good life lets you hide all the sadness you feel. You won't really fall in love, for you can't take the chance.
You're a good dancer.
So please be honest with yourself. Don't try to fake.
Never know
romance.
What's in Earl Ingram's mind.
Yeah.
844-967-2789.
To be free,
you know, you can always join us or text us at that same number. My guest is co-host Sandy Williams. My guest, I'm listening to, you know, this music, and it kind of, you know, man, it puts you in a trance, right?
It does. It's slow and peaceful.
Yeah,
and all. But it also makes you think, like it's sort of like cocktail hour, which it is not right now.
And all is right with the world.
Yeah.
But anyway, Sandy, I wanted to, again, go back to why, again, you know, this thing is going to be over in a few days. And so decisions are going to be made nationally based on what happened with this election.
This will be a tea leaves. This will be tea leaves that national pundits will look at. And it'll be a big deal because Wisconsin seems to be one of the five contested states for the next presidential campaign. So this will be looked at a lot, the results. And it's basically a turnout contest because in, you know, a spring election like this, traditionally in the past history, this has always been a low turnout election. But
not this time.
Well, not this time. Clearly, the money is being spent primarily to achieve turnout because, and I think the success of the liberals in the most recent prior elections has been viewed as a turnout issue, and so I think there's a lot of cage rattling being done on the Republican side to try and tell people, just like that list that you were reading was a list that was provided by a Republican pundit saying, hey, these things are all at risk, so you better get out and vote.
Right.
And so, you know, I guess it's scary that that's their list.
you know, Sandy, the fact that I hear Republicans on these local radio shows complaining and saying the Democrats are getting this money from national donations and we're getting ours from the most part from local and state donations. And as if there's some difference when the money comes in. The money is the money, right?
Well, money's money. But I mean, but I think they're getting money nationally, too. I'm confident.
Yeah, they are. But
I'm confident that when they try to unlock the dark room into which all this PAC money flows, they'll find out that there's a great deal of money coming in from outside the state on both sides. And I think to some extent, some of the issues, like, for instance, congressional gerrymandering is an issue nationally because the headcount of the Congress in Washington is a national issue as much as it is a state issue. abortion, while it might seem like a state-by-state issue, is not really in terms of how women view it and the availability of it and the patchwork nature of it going state-by-state is a problem. But there's just too much money in politics. And the money that's flowing, I guarantee you that the money on the Republican side is not coming from a whole bunch of small donors. I mean, to say it's coming from the state is to defy the logic of where they derive $50 million of contributions.
So hold it. Stop the presses, Calvin. Stop the presses. Sandy, we got to stop the presses.
Uh-oh.
I think I'm losing some things because I agree with Ron Johnson.
Oh yeah. I gag me with a spoon. I think that's the Valley Girl expression that used to be, or was it? I think it was barf me with a spoon, actually, but that's not really radio talk. But yeah, I had the same reaction earlier this week.
So what am I agreeing with Ron Johnson on? Let's see. What could I possibly agree with Ron Johnson on?
It starts with a U.
Ron Johnson cast doubts on the continued U.S. aid helping Ukraine in its fight against Russia, and he calls for negotiations to begin. Yes, I agree.
Yeah.
What are we waiting? Where? Why not the negotiations? What are we waiting on? And he had this to say. He basically said that it's a stalemate. It is that. But he was, you know, lambasted by many Republicans, Congress and Senate, who disagreed with him.
Like, that's the problem. You know, our foreign policy is not, you know, as much as I disagree with Ron Johnson, and much as I would think in my mind that the reasons for him to be in agreement with me might not be the same reasons.
Or you in agreement with him.
Yeah. I think we probably have a different rationale for it. But, praise be to him, because I think we need to have a debate about our foreign policy. And if it has to come from the super right, or if it has to come from a thought process that I don't agree with, I don't care. I think that what's important is that we start talking about these things, start pulling up short on how we address our foreign policy and start talking about it, because we can't be this policeman for the world. We can't try to install governments all around the world. We can't stand in judgment of how other countries govern themselves and decide that if they are governing themselves in an improper manner, there's a military solution. We can't give our CIA free rein to meddle in local politics and to create disequilibrium like I believe we probably did in 2014 in Ukraine at the time of the Maidan revolution. I was sorry that Ron Johnson got reelected, but more power to him for bringing up at least and standing up against the military-industrial kind of unity of thought process.
Well, that used to, something like that would have been the kiss of death for any Republican to stand up against the military-industrial complex. I mean, it's the same way with Democrats,
well,
but
I'm
clearly
not
Republicans.
I'm not sure he is, because I would be interested in what his policies about Taiwan and China are, okay? Well, that would be different, and I'd be interested in how he's talking about that. But and so that's why I don't know exactly what the motivation or thought process is with respect to his coming down this way with respect to Ukraine. But there is a growing sense in Washington of some people who will question our foreign policy. My suspicion is that AOC and her group as well are willing to question some of these policies. And we better get on top of this before we get run completely amok with Taiwan.
So let me say this. And before we go to the phone lines, our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. Ron Johnson casts doubts on continued U.S. aid helping Ukraine in its fight against Russia, calls for negotiations to begin. U.S. Senator Ron Johnson this week expressed doubts over the impact of continuing U.S. assistance to Ukraine in its fight against Russia, calling the war unwinnable to either side and suggesting the warring nations need to negotiate an end to the conflict. I don't see anything in that paragraph, Sandy, that was said right there by Senator Johnson that I disagree with, that paragraph that I just read. At some point, people are going to have to understand the reality of the situation, the Wisconsin Republican told the Milwaukee Journal Sunday on Tuesday. I don't see a scenario, and I've asked, I mean, where is there a path to victory from our standpoint? All I see is a grinding stalemate that day by day, more people get killed and more of Ukraine gets destroyed. Johnson said the war is a lose-lose-lose for everybody and added, nobody can win at this point. They should start negotiating. Sandy, nothing there that I disagree. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, me too. I have to say I fully agree with that, completely agree with it, actually.
Yeah.
And more power to them. Like I said, I think that politics ought to allow people to disagree and to agree if they sit on opposite sides of the aisle, and this is one of those circumstances.
Well, and especially when what he's saying is, how much more money are we going to continue to put into this when we know Ukraine can never win it? And let's just go to the phone lines and Gene from Eau Claire. Hey, good morning to you, Gene. How you doing? Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
I'm rolling over here, guys. I can't believe that. The last person in the world that I would trust that would be doing anything good for the United States and the people in the United States is Ron.
No, I agree. So, no, listen.
Just a minute. Yeah.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
Let me clarify, okay? Because we shouldn't give any money. It didn't say we should assist in helping to work this out. You have to have both sides willing to work together. And so far, I see a guy that's over there bombing people, their homes, children, and a guy which Trump and Johnson and, you know, we had our Maria Butina in Wisconsin with Walker. You know, all of this didn't happen in and of itself. Our eroding of our democracy has been going on even for many years. But when Walker got in and he had Alec, and I've learned a lot about Alec, believe you me, I was studying Alec, seeing their what they were going to do in our states, and when they were passing laws, you know, that they didn't even know who signed it by the Republicans when they got in, all the money filtering in, and the group that's involved in ALEC, the multinational corporations that are involved in making our laws, and the total disdain for the people in our state. And I would, you know, Ron Johnson, he ain't doing this for us. He ain't doing this for peacefulness in our country, and I just have to bring that out because, you know, when somebody's brutalizing, genociding another country, well, maybe we should just get together and talk about it. No attempts from Putin at all to mitigate what the devil he's doing. He's a madman. He's a bully, and I just think that, you know, there needs to be some rules
Gene,
on that
night, too. Hang on. Let's let Sandy respond to you.
Well, I'm not sure how much of a response I have. The problem is we don't know what we don't know, and there's a lot that we don't know about what's going on, whether Putin is, in fact, put out and extended a desire to have negotiations. My understanding is that that happened a while ago through Turkey and that we actually put the kibosh on that, based on whatever the terms were that were being suggested. And that China is now involved in a process that I'm sure has some of it is initiated by Russia. But again, we don't know what terms, how reasonable or not reasonable they are. There's a lot we don't know about the inner dealings within Ukraine and what has gone on there for the last years. But I don't know how we can disagree with the notion that that there ought to be the initiation of peace talks and negotiation.
Gene, we got to go to the break. 844-967-2789. It's Friday. It means Friday's with my co-host Sandy Williams. We'll be right back.
Goodbye.
And now the end is near, and so I face the final curtain. My friend, I'll say it clear, I'll state my case, of which I'm certain. I've lived a life that's full, I traveled each and every highway and more, much more than this, I did it my way.
Sandy reminiscing.
Oh, yeah.
welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show, as always. I'm looking at poor Calvin. He's
trying to figure out who this is and what's going on with this music.
Welcome back. Hey, Sandy, what happened? welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 8449. I mean, because I've been playing some stuff, man, keeping, oh, bing, 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 bang, bow, bow. And now all of a sudden it's,
crooning.
I did it my way.
At least it's not Pat Boone.
Well, I wasn't going to go that far. Yeah. 844-967. Oh, Pat Boone. 844-967-2789. You can text us. Remember the Pat Boone Show?
I do.
Right. The Pat Boone Show.
White Shoes.
Oh, man. 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. We're talking about the fact that Senator Ron Johnson is asking for, clearly asking for the United States to work towards bringing Ukraine and Russia together and other nations of the earth, and it's time to kind of work towards bringing this to an end. And I can't help but I agree with that. And just because it's Ron Johnson who said it, I can't say that the carnage that continues daily, that's the right way to handle this.
Well, I think the problem America has in the military conflicts we get into is that we don't have an end game. We don't start out with an end game plan, and as we get into it, we don't develop end game strategy. So there was no end game in Afghanistan, and we ended up being there for 20 years,
right,
and finally pulling out, you know, just abruptly, because there was no end game. We weren't approaching, we weren't accomplishing anything in the process. Same thing happened with Vietnam. We get in the middle of a civil war, and the only end game could have been a victory by South Vietnam in the civil war. That was pretty clearly not going to happen from an early stage of that war, but we stayed in it. You know, we stayed in,
right,
mired in it. Iraq, what was the end game there? Invasion, nation building, total failure, and so we're in this proxy war situation, providing lots of armaments to Ukraine, providing them before the war started with sort of the Dutch courage, the backing to give them the capacity to basically resist negotiating with Russia on the grounds that Russia was seeking to have with respect to NATO and other things. And now there's a war ongoing. What's the end game? And everyone understands, pretty much everyone understands, that the notion that Ukraine will be able to take back Crimea, Mariupol, the bridge, the land bridge to Donbass and all of the Donbass, is not going to happen. And it's pretty clear from the military conduct so far, it's very unlikely
to
happen.
And even if they could somehow do it, it would be done through the support and backing of the United States. They could not do that without us.
Well, no, but I mean, okay. So, but we could have a discussion of that end game, but that isn't our end game. And in fact, the Secretary of State has declared directly, Blinken has said that he thinks Crimea is a red line for Russia. And he's basically saying we aren't going to try, we don't think it's a good idea that Ukraine focus its efforts on retaking Crimea and Sevastopol. And so that isn't our end game. And so we better figure this out, because without an end game, we can get mired in something that could take a long time, cost an immense amount of money, totally destroy a country, leave it like maybe Iraq, you know, which is just a terrible place. And so end game. I think Ron Johnson kind of had the right notion there. I hate to attribute to him any right notions, that the problem is that it is a stalemate, and we don't have any declared end game. We provide $100 billion. So far, it's an open checkbook.
Let's go back to Dan quickly from Racine. Dan, thank you again for the call. You say what?
Hi, guys. I agree with 100% of what you're saying. You know, I think we got bigger problems in our own country. We have three branches of government that are slowly becoming one. So in what way are we going to be any different than Russia or any other autocratic society if we keep sending all our money and spending all our money policing the world, right, instead of dealing with the real problems that we have in our own country? And as much as I hate to say Ron Johnson was right on what he said, I agree with what he said. I just wish he would have followed it up with saying, hey, we need to cut that budget that we're spending on the military.
Yeah.
Hey, Dan, I can't disagree with what you just said.
No, I 100% applaud it. That's exactly, we've been talking about those very things for the last months, ever since, before Ukraine started.
Right.
I think we've identified, and you're right about this movement towards autocracy, and we can watch other countries. We can watch Israel and the sort of the horror there of watching a country retreat rather dramatically towards autocracy. Here we have populism and a personality cult towards Trump, which is all about overcoming democracy, trying to get a judiciary that operates on a partisan basis. I mean, that's definitely a retreat from the democracy as the founding fathers thought of it in this country. We were going to have three pillars of government. They would stand and offset one another and make sure that our laws operated basically on a fair basis across board.
Hey, Dan, man, thank you very much for the call. I really appreciate it. We've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
Not in a shy way. Oh no, not me. I did it my way.